Well, I suppose this is as good a time as any to figure out the internet.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 107, featuring Ron, Algar Watt, and Matt Robotham. Sarcastic Voyage encourages its listeners to submit the most ridiculously incoherent internet comments they can find for an occasional feature we like to call Never Scroll Down. This isn't a game. You didn't have what a game has, not that what you have here is bad. I might get it, but you guys should rephrase it to guitar program, because that's all it is. Tab's Real Guitar Learning, not a game learning software, is more appropriate. Gonna get this nonetheless. I give anything guitar-related product a try. Panel discussion.
So I was walking by somebody's desk at work, like somebody's cubicle.
Uh-huh.
And as I'm passing, I hear this conversation. Apparently, Leonard Nimoy is doing a voice in the new Michael Bay Transformers movie.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Leonard Nimoy did a voice in the original 1986 Transformers movie.
Right.
And I walked by a conversation where two guys were talking about this. They were like... he played Unicron. No. He played Galvatron. Somebody else played Unicron. And as I was walking by, I just said, Orson Welles. And I kept walking. And they're like popping out. Who said that?
Was that the ghost of Orson Welles?
I never like bothered to, you know, say who it was or what. I hear these guys talking about nerd stuff all the time.
Yep.
And I really just wanted to be the passing Orson Welles bandit. So,
Damn you, Orson Welles bandit.
I was just really proud of myself for being able to randomly generate a piece of needed pop culture trivia and then run away.
That would be the best Batman villain ever.
Where just like two people are having a discussion. Wait, no. Who was the person who was on Cheers before Kirstie Alley? Shelley Long!
No, I just want a guy who walks into banks, hello. I'm Orson Welles, and for the next 20 minutes, I'll be robbing your bank. He comes in wearing, like, the cape and the hat from F for Fake.
Nah, see, I don't know.
Holding a pistola.
I am a fan of pistolas. But no, I think we're talking about two different things here. Yours is totally valid, too, where it's like a guy who just wants to be Orson Welles.
I also like the idea that there's a guy who is the Orson Welles bandit who walks past conversations telling people what the name of the person they're trying to think of. And there's also a guy who robs banks dressed as Orson Welles who also calls himself the Orson Welles bandit. And one of them insists on calling himself the real Orson Welles bandit.
Orson Welles bandit 2. After the first one filed an injunction. Or... Yours could be like the Golden Age Orson Welles bandit, and mine could be the post-crisis Orson Welles bandit.
I love it when the Orson Welles bandit fought Hitler.
I think the actual Orson Welles fought Hitler is the thing.
Well, Hitler, it has come down to you, and it has come down to me, and my Mrs. Pell's fish sticks.
Oh, come on, don't go to the critic thing. We get so much Orson Welles material. You're really going to go to, like, what some other comedy writers already came up with. I'm disappointed.
I had also forgotten that he hadn't actually advertised Mrs. Pell's fish sticks.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the critic did that.
Yeah.
And it was great, but, you know, there's so much more to mine from.
Perhaps, Hitler, I could tempt you with some wine.
The French, not French, German, I suppose. German champagne. Yes. I just realized I'm thinking of a scene from Citizen Kane where he's standing there next to Hitler. He didn't fight Hitler at all. He was friends with him.
Or at least
Charles Foster Kane was.
I forgot about that.
It's in the newsreel at the beginning. They're like, often opposed tyranny, or in some cases... supported, then opposed.
Often opposed tyranny, or occasionally posed tyranny.
Maybe that's our cover this week. Charles Foster Kane on the balcony with Hitler.
Sorry, Hey, oh, Hitler, what kind of newspapers do you read?
Listen, I need some money for film. I'm that desperate, okay?
Why, yes, I will. Oh, fuck, what was a Hitler?
Hmm?
I'm trying to think of the that Nazi propaganda movie from
Triumph of the Will? Bastards.
Yes, Triumph of the Will.
So or Triumph of the Wells. There's our title.
My autobiography.
Triumph of the Wells.
Triumph of the Wells.
It's a propaganda piece, but I think you'll find it's quite fair, and the nudity is tasteful.
I'm just sitting here at the bottom of this old well.
And in Grover's Corners.
And I ain't coming out.
You guys don't even know how close Hitler came to being a character in Nick and Willikins. Matt and I have taken to lately getting together once a week or so and just sort of brainstorming stuff to see, you know, ideas. Mm-hmm. It's more fun to write that way than just to go off by ourselves.
Yeah.
It's more fun to collaborate. And it's usually just us doing the voices for a while and seeing what we laugh at.
Yes.
And a week or two ago, we decided Hitler should be Nick's roommate who has moved in to help pay the rent. Even though Nick Hall has been in the Nick family for centuries and there's no rent. Hitler's just a bad roommate, and he's playing. What is it, you decided he was playing Rock Band all the time.
Yeah, he loved Rock Band
for some reason.
I'm having the most good time playing the Rock Band.
That was a very near thing.
The Reich will last 1,000 years. Will it now? That's nice. It's good to have an hobby.
I think Nick called him Addy.
Yes, Addy. I forgot about that. Willikins, I don't like staying with Addy at all. He's not very nice.
He's not a good flatmate.
No, sir, I think you'll find that he's not a very nice roommate. No, he's always leaving the milk out. What about the genocide, sir? What about it?
The what now?
What's happening?
Now, listen, he explained this to me. It all made perfect sense when he said it, but now that I think about it, it seems a little horrible.
Willikins, you know I don't keep track of current affairs. never mind.
So that was a very near thing.
I'm going to go climb down the well with Orson Welles.
I'm just sitting here inside this well.
It's very nice to see you, Willikins. Would you like to share a sandwich?
I have one here.
Oh,
just for this occasion.
Oh, it's gone
now.
It's gone now. Well, you had your chance.
Could be worse.
I don't like being your friend, Orson Welles.
I like that it seems like most British shows come about by making various people flatmates, and I suppose that happens here too. But for some reason, I think of it more in England as being a part of their show. Hey, puppy appearance once again.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's going to keep happening.
Yeah, that's fine. People love your puppy.
They do.
And if we promise a puppy appearance in every episode, it might boost
our numbers. Yeah, we'll start sticking her on the cover too.
Yeah, that's fine. Put her down the well with Orson Welles. Yeah. Should be like Lassie.
What's that girl? Orson Welles is trapped in a well again? With Willikins? Yeah.
Willikins.
We'll call it Orson Willikins.
Yes. Triumph of the Willikins. Nicole Uberalis. No, but I was thinking about this. Like
standing outside Nicole at Grover's Corner. There's a Martian here.
Hello, Mr. Martian. You look like you have something to say. Right. Do you? Oh, I guess he did have to go back to his own planet.
Oh, there he goes. Willikins, get me that dog.
No, I was thinking about all these different English shows. And again, it's probably a thing here, too, where various people turn, you know, various unlikely pairings of people become flatmates or roommates or whatever you want to call it. That's kind of where the Hitler thing came from. But Amanda and I for this weekend have that Being Human show.
Oh, yeah.
Which I keep hearing is good. And then I read the description. I'm like, there is no way this is good.
Mm-hmm.
A vampire. No. What is it? A werewolf, a Dracula, and a ghost.
Yep.
Are all flatmates in England.
Yep. I would totally watch that show.
Well, there's an American version now as well. And yeah, I hear that's actually... No, I hear that's not as bad as people feared it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times, you know, Americans will remake shows and they won't be very good. But sometimes you get The Office.
Yeah, sometimes you get Three's Company.
Yeah. So, which is exactly the same.
Yep.
Even if you don't like it, you have to acknowledge that we didn't mess it up, at least.
Mm.
It's still a crazy farce. But now, if Jack Tripper had been flatmates with Dracula...
See, I would have watched the shit out of that show.
That would have been a high comedy. And
I have to pretend I'm gay.
To hide from Mr. Roper, who is played by Don Knotts. He's always coming in and saying, "Me, Mr. Roper, is here to see you. I am Mr. Roper." Why does he keep saying his own name?
Does he want me to know who he is?
That reminds me, Matt, this is something I wanted to discuss with you before we started, but...
Oh, yes.
Oh, well. We haven't done a contest in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking, as much as... And I think we're the only ones. But as much as we enjoy hearing from celebrities, quote-unquote... Mm-hmm.
And we do.
I think it would be a lot of fun to do a contest where people have their celebrity friends call us.
I think that would be awesome.
If you can read between the lines of what that really means.
Get your celebrity friends to call us, and
yes.
We will award them prizes.
Yes, but we will send you the prize, which you will then pass on to the celebrity.
Them. Yes. Wink.
I don't want to violate the whole reality that we are actually talking to Jerry Seinfeld.
How could you? Because we clearly are talking to Jerry Seinfeld. Why would he keep saying that he's Jerry Seinfeld?
Yeah, he has no reason to keep doing that.
No.
So, yeah, we'll get something official together and we'll put a prize together. But, put that in your pipe and smoke it with your burned lips. We want to hear from your celebrity friends. So, have your celebrity friends call the show.
Yes.
Which reminds me, not enough people have been calling the voicemail, and I just paid for another 3 months, and come on.
This is our entire argument. Come on.
Come on, it costs
come
money.
Come on.
206-973-3982. Please just, call us, or have a celebrity friend call us. Even
yes.
better. So we look forward to that.
Or Snagglepuss.
or Don Knotts.
Friends, do you know Snagglepuss? Could you get him to call us? That would be awesome. Thanks.
That would be pretty awesome. And then we could finally settle if he's the same as Jerry Seinfeld and Don Knotts.
Our legendary interview with Snagglepuss.
And we don't need to talk to them directly. I mean, that could also be a thing. But leave a voicemail or email the show and with an attachment. That's usually how Jerry Seinfeld and Jack Nicholson contact us.
Choose to contact us.
That's also acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
However you want to handle it. But we would love to hear from more celebrities.
Yes.
Because we really feel like the profile of the show needs to be higher than it is.
Yeah. The show's doing okay on its own, but what it really needs is star appeal.
Listen, we're entering like season 10 of The Simpsons, where we're tired of trying to subtly cast celebrities in the body of the show. We'd mm-hmm. much rather just roll them out as themselves over and over again.
Wow, the white stripes.
And so on in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
This is this is the key difference between us and The Simpsons. They get, wow, the white stripes. We get, wow, Don Knotts.
This is a valid point. Sarcastic Voyage is going to Portland.
On the other hand, The Simpsons never got Jerry Seinfeld, so...
This is also a good point.
So take that, The Simpsons.
Yeah. And of course, the winner of our celebrity contest will be a flatmate with a werewolf.
Yes.
That will be the contest result.
So look forward to that.
A lot of werewolf talk this week.
I'm okay with that. As I have pointed out numerous times, I will talk about werewolves all day.
You will talk about any form of monster all day, and that comes back to the monsters versus robots thing.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically werewolves, or as Flonk pointed out yesterday, there's a difference between werewolves and wolfmen.
Oh, there is.
I'm not clear on this exactly. Why don't you? I mean, I am now. But settle this?
Okay, this is pretty simple. A werewolf is a guy who turns into a wolf at the full moon. A wolf. Probably a larger than regular wolf, but still a wolf.
Well, it depends on if you're like one of those nitpicky nerds that says, you can't change your mass.
That's the key problem with the wolf man or with the werewolf. You can't change the amount of mass you have. Yes, you're completely right. That is the only problem with being a werewolf.
Right. Otherwise, the amount of moon you can see turns you into an animal. That's totally fine.
Yep.
All right.
No, so a werewolf is a guy who changes into a wolf.
Uh-huh.
A wolf man
mm-hmm.
or a female wolf man.
Not a wolf woman.
No, there's no such thing as a wolf woman. It's just a female wolf man.
So just in the same way that there's no such thing as Pac-Woman, it's Miss Pac-Man.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha.
Technically, it's Miss Pac-Man.
Very well.
But your wolf man is a person who turns into a large wolf-like creature that walks on its hind legs and probably still has hands.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
So most movies that claim to be werewolf movies
are actually wolfman movies. Yes.
Wolfman movies. Okay. Now, I suppose I understand that. That raises more questions than it answers, but let's continue this by way of another thing we were discussing earlier this week.
All right.
Before we get into this, I'd like to mention some of the things that we are about to discuss are jokes that were actually come up with by our pal Fourth Man, Chris Coleman, mm-hmm. who's been on the show before. I just want to make a blanket statement. I may be stealing one or two of his jokes here.
Yes.
And I do apologize if I'm doing that. I'm not doing that and claiming that they're mine. It's just we had kind of a great back and forth going on, and I didn't want to try to figure out what was mine and what was his and what was Matt's, and you know,
right.
It's just a lot easier to rehash this as a whole. So all credit where it's due. Chris is a really funny guy, and we need to have him on the show again.
We do.
But that said, we were all talking about the MTV's new show Teen Wolf.
Yes.
Which, Matt, have you seen the preview for that?
No. From what I've heard, it's very teen angsty.
Well, yeah, it's got a very sort of Twilight-y vibe to it. It's got a very, like, teens dealing with their problems, very dramatic. Now, here's the thing. Mm. Teen Wolf was a movie, I think, 1986-ish, with Michael J. Fox. It was a goofy teen comedy.
Yep.
Where, you know, the standard story where turning into, I guess, a wolf man,
was a wolf man.
Yeah. Is used as a metaphor for puberty, which, mm-hmm. you know, standard story, that's fine.
Yep.
You know, you're going through some changes and hair starts growing.
Fur where there was no fur before.
Yeah, that holds up as a metaphor, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you do it with a woman, because, you know, not to put too fine a point on it, but, you know, once a month,
mm-hmm.
that adds a whole extra layer to it. But mm-hmm.
Well, there was another movie that came out in the early 2000s called Ginger Snaps, which was about that, too.
Well, and if you do it right, that's actually, and I'm sure Irene and Amanda know all about this with their werewolf porn books.
Yep.
But
they
seems
do
like
a werewolf porn.
They do indeed. I was talking to Amanda earlier about the things that she's an expert on.
Lesbian werewolves is at the top of the list.
Yep. Canadian criminology, werewolf porn, and Doctor Who.
Quite a catch you got there, Al.
I think so. the original Teen Wolf was this movie in 1986, I think, 1987, somewhere around there. After Back to the Future, like Michael J. Fox's next movie, where he plays a teen wolf man. Is it a wolf boy if you're younger?
No, it's the species of monster is called wolfman.
Okay, very well.
That's why you have female wolfmans.
Right. And of course, the only thing I really remember about that movie is the girl that he was interested in is named Boof.
Oh, yeah.
B-O-O-F. Boof.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know if you had this in Canada or when you were growing up or whatever, but Boof is actually shorthand for buttfuck.
Yeah.
I think this is pretty well known.
There was... Why they decided a lot of, like, 80s movies where the girls had weird, like, just weird names? I'm trying to remember the name of the girl in Ferris Bueller.
No, that was Sloan.
That's not that weird. That's pretty weird.
Eh. I mean, I've known people named Sloan.
You've known Sloans?
Strange. Yes. Maybe one. I mean, not a known Sloan knower. But a Boof. I mean, really? Boof. That's all I really remembered. Unfortunately, Boof has been retconned out of the new MTV. And then there was a sequel, Teen Wolf 2, which when it came out when I was 12 or whatever, I thought was the height of hilarity because they spelled 2 T-O-O.
Uh-huh.
As in, I am also a teen wolf.
Yes.
Hilarious.
Look, we've all had moments like that. I probably was the same way with a certain movie that had a 2 in it.
As long as you weren't 20, I think it's okay.
If you're a kid, I get it. Teen Wolf 2.
And of course, that Teen Wolf was played by, he was supposed to be Michael J. Fox's cousin because mm-hmm. they couldn't get him back. But they wanted to keep the valuable franchise name. Played by Jason Bateman, who would, of course, later go on to be Michael Bluth in Arrested Development.
Michael Boof.
Yeah, Michael Boof. And I would like to. Oh, and then there was an animated series after that. I think
yeah, that I actually watched a lot of too.
Yeah, which probably not very good.
No, I imagine it wasn't, but I was a kid and I liked everything, so.
Now, here's where this all started. I would like to imagine, with this MTV show coming out, that there is an entire angry nerd community of Teen Wolf devotees.
Yes.
In the way that we are big into Star Trek and the other things that we're into.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we met on a comic book message board. Some community like that, only one that completely does, like, takes itself way too seriously. Like, I imagine there being forums.
Yep.
I imagine Michael J. Fox versus Jason Bateman is like the Kirk versus Picard
yep.
of their world. I imagine most of them don't consider the animated series canon.
Mm-hmm. No, it took place after Teen Wolf, but before Teen Wolf 2.
So, but these are things that they probably spend lots of time, way too much time, hashing out.
This is episode 173 of Talking Teen Wolf. I'm your host, Gary, and as always, my co-host, Bert's with me. And today we'll be analyzing Teen Wolf 2, scene 485. Now, Gary, you were saying to me earlier that you felt that the portrayal of Teen Wolf in this scene was really not up to scruff with the rest of the movies. Yes, that's true, Gary, because you see, the makeup here is not, you can see the nose isn't applied quite as correctly.
Well, see, I like to think that that's, that is a deliberate choice on the part of the auteur.
No, see, this part, because you see, this part is a metaphor for the Teen Wolf's degrading sense in himself. See, the makeup in itself is actually starting to drop off, and that was the director's vision of the real
now,
curse of
interesting,
adolescence.
Bit of trivia here. Teen Wolf 2 was at least co-written, if not completely written, by comics Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, it was.
And actually, there was another Loeb on the first one, and I wonder if that was like his father or something.
No, I think that was Jeff Loeb on both of them, actually.
It wasn't the same name. It was somebody else Loeb. Maybe he was using a pen name.
Like J-E-F-F Loeb.
Like spelling Jeff the normal
like
human way.
Like a real person, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd like to imagine that there's this whole internet community. Like, there's a post-atomic horror of Teen Wolves, as Matt just imagined there. You know, just people who are so ridiculously into this. And they are outraged by this MTV show, because apart from being called Teen Wolf in name, there is no other similarity. Like I said, it's got that very Twilight-y kind of teen angst thing to it. There is no comedy whatsoever. It is just very, like, and I imagine they call it Twino, Teen Wolf in name only.
Yep.
Like, there's this whole elaborate, I just imagined this whole elaborate community. And we started trying to imagine what they'd be like, and we started turning into them. And
much
Chris,
like Teen Wolf himself turned into a wolf fan.
Chris pointed out that that's kind of where he exists in that weird level of irony where... sometimes the best way to make fun of something is just to turn into it, I suppose. But then I got to thinking, you know, those guys actually weren't the original Teen Wolves, like Michael J. Fox and Jason Bateman. As far as I can tell, the original Teen Wolf was Michael Landon.
Yes, from I Was a Teenage Werewolf.
Right, which before it popped up on MST, I actually knew about it. It was pretty famous just on its own as being a, you know, teenage werewolf movie. Mm-hmm.
See, and I knew him from my Encyclopedia of Monsters.
Ah. Although that also should be renamed, I Was a Teenage Wolfman, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
But okay, Michael Landon also, I guess the father in, Little House on the Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
But what I know him as a kid of the 80s was, Highway to Heaven, where he played an angel that came back to Earth to solve mysteries, because that's what everyone did in the 80s. You wandered
mysteries.
from town to town and helped people with their problems and solve mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
So... I got to thinking the perfect way to resolve all of this is to do sort of a competing Teen Wolf story.
Yep.
And have Michael Landon play the ghost or angel of a Teen Wolf.
The original Teen Wolf.
Yes. Coming back to Earth to guide other Teen Wolves. Going from town to town solving mysteries. And I got to wonder, would a werewolf have a ghost or a wolfman have a ghost, or would he be an angel? Like, are they allowed to be angels?
Well, I mean, that as we all know, animals do not, in fact, have souls, Al.
Ah, yes, but I counter with all dogs go to heaven.
Well played, clerks. Well played.
As we all know from the well-known Don Boof movie.
All right. So we have...
See, now I'm picturing a wolfman with wings and a halo, or picturing a semi-transparent wolf sort of flowing in a ghosty way. They're both funny. But which one makes more sense?
Ooh, God. Here's the thing. I would go with the wolfman who had the wings and a halo, but he only has the wings and the halo when he's using his angelic powers.
Oh,
see, the rest of the time, he's incognito as a regular werewolf. Wolfman.
Right. By day, an unassuming,
mild-mannered wolfman about town.
But by night, an avenging wolfman angel. And he goes from town to towns, and he meets different teen wolves.
Stop digging. You've struck oil.
Who are coping with the various problems associated with being a teen wolf. And, of course, in the original movies in the 80s, those problems were involved with being athletic, I believe. Mm-hmm. Michael J. Fox's character was basketball. And I think Jason Bateman's character was on some other sports team, but it wasn't basketball. Like, they tried to make it similar, but not the same.
Was it hockey?
I don't remember.
That's the usual progression in sports movies. It goes basketball, hockey, soccer.
What are you citing as a reference here? Like, where has this hierarchy been established?
I think the kids' movies I watched back in the 90s.
Very well. Like, what, like the Mighty Ducks?
Stuff like the Mighty Ducks, the Big Green.
Very well.
I forgot Air Bud.
Air Bud. That have anything to do with marijuana?
I wish.
Okay, so Teen Wolf 2 was basketball. Mm-hmm. Let me look up Teen Wolf and find out.
Teen Wolf. Wait, so Teen Wolf 2 was basketball?
Yes, Teen Wolf, the original, was also basketball. So they didn't even bother changing it.
It was basketball.
Yeah. Wow. Very well, then. So I guess it would be basketball. I was really hoping for
a figure skating Teen Wolf movie.
Well, see, that's the thing. In the series, you can expand that. It doesn't just have to be basketball.
Right.
And the angel ghost of Michael Landon's Wolfman can travel from town to town and help these figure skating Teen Wolf, who is struggling with the awkwardness of adolescence mixed with the essential...
being a figure skater.
And a wolfman.
Oh, yeah, that.
And then maybe in the season finale, you could have an actual werewolf.
I gotta tell you, of the three of those, wolfman sounds the easiest to me to deal with.
Oh, yeah. That would be a lot easier to deal with than being a figure skater or the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe for celebrity cameos, you could bring in Michael J. Fox for an episode or Jason Bateman for an episode.
Benicio del Toro.
Was he a wolf?
Yeah, he was in The Wolfman.
Oh, I was not aware of that movie.
Yes, the recent Wolfman.
Very well. Now, was he a wolfman or a werewolf?
No, he was a wolfman.
Okay, see, I thought it might add an extra layer of confusion if he was actually a werewolf.
No.
Yes.
See, most movies do just wolfmen, because wolfmen are easier to do makeup-wise than actual werewolves.
See, that doesn't make sense to me, because all you got to do is the transition makeup for a few seconds, maybe some morphing effects, and then you just film a wolf.
Mm.
Like, that's a lot less makeup, really.
See, you'd think that, but you would be wrong. Plus, who wants to work with a wolf? No one I know.
This is true. Now, I do remember that this was actually Chris's suggestion for a title for the show. He wanted to call it Lycanth Stop Loving You.
I forgot about that.
So that is absolute gold. He also came up with what the title music was, and I do not remember that now. I do think that the closing credits needed to be Werewolves of London, of course.
No, the opening credits were Werewolf Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah, that's it. Because that does definitely fit the theme.
It totally does.
Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves. With maybe a cameo appearance by Tracy, whichever it is, Morgan or Jordan.
Yes, whoever we can get. We'll take both, frankly.
No. I just can never keep straight which one is the fictional character, because the real life guy is just as ridiculous.
I like to believe that the fictional character exists in his own sort of pocket reality at NBC, along with the rest of 30 Rock.
That could very well be.
Because I just prefer a reality in which those are real people.
That makes sense. Well, I prefer a reality where Michael Landon's ghost angel of a wolf man comes back to Earth to guide.
Well, look, that's the best of all possible realities.
And I think we really have a show here.
I agree. In fact, I think it's ridiculous that we're talking about it on a podcast where anyone can snap it up.
Well, no, I by saying this, by putting it out there, mm-hmm. we are saying, you know, we have that statement at the end that everything here is our property.
Yes.
And that's why I mentioned Chris as well, because he was instrumental in this little brainstorming session. So it's also his property. So this is he'll be our showrunner.
Yes.
Like, we'll be behind the scenes, but he can actually guide the series itself.
Produced by.
Yeah. Now, you had said you thought this would make a good ABC TGIF show.
I do, yeah. I think that it would fit quite easily in with the TGI lineup that I remember from when I was in.
So, like, your Full House.
No, that's that was like when I was in elementary school. I'm talking about when Sabrina the Teenage Witch took off.
All right.
And so TGIF or ABC, I guess, rushed out a bunch of other sort of like
supernatural
based sitcoms, which we talked about in that episode with Jen.
We did. So you think more sitcom than drama? I mean, I definitely think you need more emphasis on the comedy, because this MTV thing just takes itself way too seriously.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you want to go full on three camera. Is it three camera? I don't even know.
I think that it would work really well as a three camera sitcom.
I don't remember what a three camera sitcom is the problem. But your standard studio shot in a studio with a laugh track sitcom. I don't know if I'd want to go that
far. Isn't three camera when it's like you've got the living room and the kitchen?
That may be. Flonk knows this stuff, but
and then a staircase in the background.
That may very nowhere. Well be. Yeah,
I may just be thinking of the Brady Bunch.
Or no, there's a lot of shows like or when you Full mentioned House. That, or even Leave It to Beaver.
Yep.
Or like Donna Reed. I mean, it goes way back to like the early the 50s and 60s ones. All the stuff that Nick at Night had in their early lineup.
All the stuff that Nick and Wilkins had in their lineup.
Yes, it's Nick at Night, isn't it?
Sir, for the last time, go to bed. I don't want to hear about your nightmare.
It's time for Nick at Night. Anyway, we're straying off topic here.
Yes.
Nick and Wilkins could be maybe have a cameo in the pilot, but this is a whole other thing.
And if we're lucky, maybe his old friends, Nick and Wilkins, will come by to wish him luck.
I think we were working on the pitch for the Gallagher's versus Joel Hodgson thing for a while, and I think that's kind of died. I think this is our new thing.
Yep.
I think we need to really polish this and get it to Hollywood and, you know, start cashing in.
Yep. It's about time, damn it.
I got to thinking about the specifics of a werewolf in the afterlife, because that's what we do.
Yep.
That's what Twitter is for.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, I think it was Chris actually made a reference to something that I confused with the Left Behind series.
Oh, God.
Which I then looked up and I realized, oh my God, this thing is huge.
Yeah, it is.
There's this whole, and actually getting back to the sort of TGIF type actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
Who oddly, it feels like he should have been a Teen Wolf. Because he's in that same.
You mention it, it does. Well, listen, there's no place for Wolfman in God's plan for us, Al.
Well, he was still an atheist. Like, when he started growing pains, he was still an atheist, and then he converted.
Oh.
I was reading because I was just fascinated by all this, but so at the time he still would have been fair game.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he was in that group of teen heartthrobs from the mid to late 80s that Michael J. Fox and Jason Bateman were in.
Right.
He would have totally like he would have been in Teen Wolf 3 if they'd been able to come up with a clever pun for Teen Wolf 3.
Wouldn't they? But, doesn't the progression there go Teen Wolf Now?
That could be, or Beyond Teen Wolf,
Teen Wolf Forever.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of opportunities there, but I was looking at this Left Behind series.
Yes,
and like, wow,
I know
it's this whole series, and there's like 20 or 30 books now, and a bunch of movies
mm-hmm.
about the rapture's come, and all the good Christians are gone, and everyone's left at hell on earth. Is that
yeah?
Is that
no, I read the first one because from the sound of it, it sounded like something I would enjoy, but it was Christian propaganda, so I dropped out.
If it was written by someone who actually, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wrote it as mythology and not as something they actually believe.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
The thing I love about the Left Behind books was that there's a kit in the back that you can order so that when the rapture does come, you'll know what to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is something that the Judge John Hodgman podcast is doing. If you donate money to them for their pledge drive, he's got this post-apocalypse kit.
Mm-hmm.
For nerds, which is awesome. It's like a battery or like a hand crank USB charger and like a flashlight and like all this great stuff. Like, but that's a joke.
Yeah.
No, nobody actually believes, except your girlfriend, that there's going to be an apocalypse.
Yes.
So, like, you know, why do you need a kit for one? That's a little silly.
It's hilarious, and it leads itself to other stuff. It's like that. This is true. There is a website set up so that when the rapture comes, people who are not going to go to heaven will be able to take care of your pets for you.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think it's our role as non-believers to sign up for something like that. Because that's going to be a lot of puppies left behind, and that's not
good. No, that's not good.
Although, you know, all dogs do go to heaven. I did make that point
earlier. That's true, but I'm worried about the cats. There's no movie from the 80s that says that all cats go to heaven.
No, I'm pretty sure we know exactly where the cats are
going.
Yes. but I started, like, reading this and, like, wow, this is a whole... Every now and then I get a glimpse into a huge subculture that I didn't realize existed, mm-hmm. and I can't unthink of. And now I realize that they're based on the numbers that I saw, there must be in any room of, say, 20 people, there must be 3 or 4 people who read these books and like them.
Well,
because they're just that big.
Well, I mean, you're talking to someone who read one.
Well, yeah, but you don't like.
No, that's
so you
true.
Just you checked one. You didn't inhale.
No,
like that doesn't really count. But then I just got to thinking. Well, maybe it would make our Michael Landon's Ghost Angel of a Wolfman show more marketable. If we gave it kind of a left behind angle as well.
So if it took place after the rapture.
Or if he's trying to save these teen wolves before the rapture, or, you know, something like that.
No, because I could totally see wolfmen not getting to go to heaven.
No. See, I see maybe he's kind of a rebel up there, and he thinks they can be saved.
Sure.
And so by convincing teen wolfmen to embrace the Lord.
Uh-huh.
He might get them into heaven, and then maybe, you know, the rapture happens in, say, season 2, and they don't ascend.
That's your that's your big season 1 cliffhanger.
Yeah. And he realizes that it was all for nothing, and then he gets really angry and assembles, like, an army of the damned, or I don't know. I'm just spitballing.
Yeah, I would watch that show.
Yeah, and for some reason I picture them in a fleet of ice cream trucks. I don't know where that came from.
Also, I think there should be a mummy.
Just one.
Yes.
Because you got to have a token mummy in any.
Oh, of course. Well, listen, mummies are going to be the next big thing. Okay, I want to get on that. I want to get on that before it leaves the station.
The thing is, I'm pretty sure we said that. I think that you brought this up on the show,
mm-hmm.
and then Penny Arcade did it.
Yep.
And it's like, well, and it wasn't one of those. They obviously stole our joke thing because they didn't.
No.
But it was one of those we're all thinking the same thing. Things.
Yeah.
But I did want to address that because someone's going to say, you took that from Penny Arcade. No.
No, we didn't.
No, you said that first.
Yeah.
Although I personally think Frankensteins are the next big thing.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Only because it's way more contrived. You have to really build a backstory to make a Frankenstein in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have a creator. You can't just throw
a Frankenstein together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can. But you still have to figure out who made it, mm-hmm. what they're made of. Whereas a mummy can just be, oh, there's an Egyptian mummy that came back to life.
You can like also that. Have an Aztec mummy.
This is true. Or, you know, I would even go with a more modern spin and say, say there was someone in the 70s who was a big fan of Steve Martin's King Tut and mummified his little brother. And now they're back. And
buried him with a donkey.
Yeah. He's my favorite honky. Incidentally, I've been following Steve Martin on Twitter, and he actually made a King Tut reference the other day. And I don't usually like when funny people just kind of revisit their old stuff. Mm-hmm. If it's, come up with something new. But he did it in just the right way, where it was actually really funny. I've enjoyed that guy. He's odd.
Yes, yes, he is.
His Twitter presence is quite amusing.
Mm-hmm. I watched him get into a fight with Norm Macdonald the other day. That was enjoyable.
I heard about that, but I didn't actually see it.
It's pretty good.
That seems like someone is vastly outmatched in the battle of wits there.
Yeah.
But, since we have some Norm Macdonald fans out there, I won't say who it is, but it was Norm Macdonald.
Sure, I'm glad to be talking to you, Steve.
Wait, who are you again?
You like hockey?
Yeah, Bob Dole. Remember that?
I was in Dirty Work.
Remember that? I'm great. I said fuck a lot on SNL. They fire me.
Now I got no job.
That was a great. It was Dennis Miller's Millennium special. He did a thing in 2000 where he was like, kind of a fake. Like, my show's been around for 1,000 years. Here's a recap thing.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
It was great. But every now and then they would do a clip when they got to the 20th century. They would do a clip every 20 or 30 years where Norm Macdonald would show up. and just deliver a horribly constructed punchline that ended with the word cock. I saw that Empire State Building. Yeah, I want a painted flesh collared and lie in the street and pretend I have a 100-foot cock. I dropped acid the other week. My cock started singing to me.
Cock.
Cock.
Cock doll.
So, yeah. What you can take away from all this is we have a new TV pitch.
Yes. We're calling it Cock Dole.
No, Lycanth Stop Loving
You. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Trademark Chris Coleman, 2011.
You got to admit, Cock Dole is catchier, though.
Yeah, but that's another thing for another time.
That's your title thing, though. You know, like, you can't expect people to say, hey, did you see Lycanthrop loving you last night? You can totally see people saying, hey, you see Cock Dole last night?
No, they would say, did you see LSLY last night?
I still think that's too wordy.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. The problem is the network's going to get involved, and before you know it, they're just going to call it Awoo or something.
Well, we do that's the other thing. We do have the rights to Werewolves of London. We could open with that and just call it Awoo.
Or, you know, Aru, and maybe have a cameo by Werewolf Nixon.
Aru.
That could be all right.
That would be awesome. That's,
you know, son.
That's how you end the first season. You have Werewolf Nixon and his army of the damned rise up against Michael Landon.
But see, he's the main villain of the season, but he's like behind the scenes the whole time, and he's revealed in like episode 13.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, are you sons of bitches ready for this?
I'm back, baby.
All right. We got some mail here.
Oh, mail.
Dive into that.
Alrighty then.
Okay, this one comes from English Gaff.
Okay.
Writes, dear you who speak for the people, you recently mentioned buying of bottled juices from fruit. Mm-hmm. But what about bottled rainfall? Surely that's stupid in advanced countries. This was from me.
What the hell is bottled? Is that what I think it is?
Water?
Is that literally water that came? That's just rain.
I'm not sure, because he says, surely that's stupid in advanced countries. I'm not sure what that means. He's probably making fun of me because, you know, the English and sarcasm. Mm-hmm. But I'm really not incredibly clear on that.
I mean, if we're literally talking about like bottled rainwater that is like mm-hmm. purified and then sold, I would probably buy that.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that, is the thing. I'm a sucker for if you paint a good picture with the words and it's just tap water, I'll probably still buy it. Mm-hmm. I think I've mentioned this before. If food says that it's hearty,
mm-hmm.
I will buy it. I'm a sucker for the word hearty.
That explains why you buy a bottle of those Hungry Man dinners.
I don't eat them, but at the store, they seem like a really good idea.
I just stack them up and make a fort.
The thing is, with bottled water, the thing that they always use, and this one doesn't work on me, the thing they always use is that it's from, like, Canadian glaciers. I don't get that at all.
Yeah, I've seen Canadian glaciers. They're nothing to be too proud of. A lot of them are dirty.
They're ice.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And, you know, like, great. So your water was frozen and now it's water. Yeah. That's great. I don't get it.
But I would drink sky water, though.
Well, yeah.
There's a certain majesty to that.
Where does that come from? I mean, does the sky, you know... The sky beast send it for his chariots.
The giant wolf man in the sky riding his chariot across the clouds. So they weep upon the earth.
Now I'm picturing a wolf man on a chariot being drawn by werewolves who are in wolf form. Which just seems unnecessarily cruel, but also quite funny.
Rhyme Rhyticus.
No, he doesn't sound like Scooby-Doo.
I think he should.
Well, very well. I think we might have creative differences there.
This is where we split off.
Didn't Scooby-Doo recently appear in Batman, the Brave and the Bold?
Yes, he did, and I was quite pleased by that.
I only saw a clip. I haven't actually seen
the episode. Yeah, I haven't actually seen the episode either, but the clip was great.
They're getting weird with that show, and I really appreciate that.
Yep.
I've said this before, it's not really my kind of show, but I love that it exists. There's a lot of great stuff for fans in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Last week there was an episode which was a huge homage to the classic website Superman is a Dick.
Yep.
Which chronicles all the times throughout the Silver Age that Superman did awful, awful things to people.
Which he did every month.
Yeah. And this episode took a bunch of like actual panel grabs, which Pat Loika linked us to a site, and we'll link that for you. Mm-hmm. That shows you like this is from the show. This is what they took it from in the comic.
Yeah,
which is a lot of really great. And there's even a line where they're talking to Perry White, and Jimmy Olsen goes, Superman, he's like, he's a di-. And then Lois, a different person.
Wow.
Just a lot of
That's
fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's a fun show. And the Scooby-Doo one sounds great, too. I can't wait to see that. Next one comes from Handsome Dan from Down Under, mm-hmm. and he writes, the subject is, you say koala, and I say run. he says, dear Alan Matt, imagine that you were dead.
Okay, that was easy.
That makes me sad. I'll even paint a picture of your demise so you can get into character. For Al, it was a tragic day when the plan for Smlown Central took a horrible yet inevitable turn. It was a day that we remembered with a shudder in Romania. as for Matt, he was found on the floor after overdosing on Slurpees. While it would never be truly understood which Slurpee was the culprit, many believe it was his newly invented Taco Slurpee. He also includes a hypothetical for the guest, which we don't have this
week.
That's
not a hypothetical. That's a prediction.
Well, yeah, but this one is hypothetical. Not forgetting the special guest. You were attacked by several dolphins one day when you went to the beach. Children looked on in horror as the dolphins made you their bitch. The squeaks of the dolphins were forever burnt into those children's memories. See, this is clearly written by someone in Australia, because who else would think of dolphins as dangerous?
I would. I've seen that episode of The Simpsons.
No, that was King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Look, dolphin rape is no laughing matter.
Dolphin rape is no laughing matter.
Hi, I'm Hank Hill here for dolphin rape.
No, see, I just like to think that the guy from Australia thinks the most docile, like, harmless creatures are deadly, because that's how Australia rolls.
Well, he's not wrong.
He continues, so the question is, you're dead, you meet God, you're allowed to ask him one question, what would that question be? Keeping his pimp hand strong for the good of the Sarcastic Voyage family, Dan from Australia.
I would ask him if he's a wolf man.
Yeah, I'm totally going to settle this whole werewolf thing once and for all. What do you think of my pitch would be the actual question. Because really, if you can pitch a show to God, I mean, you're set. That is like a writer's dream.
I just picture him leaning back in his throne. Well, Al, does it have to be a werewolf? See, those aren't studying so well right now with teens and males from 25 to 35. We hear vampires are big right now. If that's a direction you'd want to go.
Oh my, you, no. That would be fun.
Wrathful God.
I don't know. I mean, that's what's on my mind at the moment. But what I would ask him otherwise is, I don't know, I'd probably go Captain Kirk and ask him why he didn't exist.
You'd ask him what he would do with a starship.
I would like to present, you know, the Almighty with a logic puzzle that would make him disappear.
I put it to you, God.
Yes. Why don't you exist? But that would be fantastic.
For truth denies faith, and without faith I am nothing. But says man. Shit, how does that go?
The Babel fish proves your non-existence.
It proves QED. Your existence, therefore you don't. QED.
Right. Oh, I hadn't thought of that, said God, and he disappeared in a puff of logic.
Well, that was easy, says man, and is promptly killed on the next zebra crossing.
Zebra crossing.
Oh, excuse me.
Because it's written by English.
Pardon me all to hell.
I do think that it's great that between the two of us, we probably know all of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, though. That's pretty
cool.
So stay
tuned for next week when we basically just recite that.
Hey, that would be totally fine with
me. Yeah, me too.
Next one comes from Mike X. Oh, did you have anything to ask God other than the werewolf thing?
No, I'm good.
Fair enough.
I have trouble. I have trouble making imaginary questions for something I don't believe in.
We just spent a good half hour talking about Teen Wolf.
Yeah, I believe in that.
Very well. Ooh, puppy coming in for another cameo.
Yep.
Watch those ratings spike at minute 47.
Man, people really started listening in at 47, and that doesn't even make sense.
One kid really liked the speedo. Mike X writes, hey, Al, Matt, and possible guest. I've been checking out the new Young Justice show on Cartoon Network, and it's got me thinking about sidekicks. Mm-hmm. If you had to choose a sidekick for whatever reason, helping you fight crime, driving the car, making you a sandwich, what would his or her powers or abilities be? Alternatively, if you were a sidekick yourself, what sort of hero would you want to work with? Think carefully before answering Batman, since I hear that guy's a little bossy.
Batman.
Later. Mike. Yeah, no, you can't. He just said don't answer Batman.
Too bad.
Very well.
I will put real thought into the other question, but the sidekick one's an easy one. That's Batman.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I will never be a sidekick. I will be sidekick to no man, so it has to be the other way around. I'm pretty sure Matt's my sidekick.
Yeah. I've been a lot of people's sidekicks over the years.
We have kind of a Tick and Arthur thing.
I try not to be bitter about it.
Look, as long as you're included, that's the important thing.
I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah, you're. I'm the Tick, you're Arthur, and Dave is Deflator Mouse. That works.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Or actually Batmanuel, because I don't think he's seen the cartoon, but no. He knows who Batmanuel is.
Or as he was called in one episode, Field Mouse.
Yes.
That really pissed me off.
Dave, when we were one of our Vegas trips back in the day, it was in that 5 minutes when the live action show was on, and we had all just gotten cell phones because this was like 2001 and everyone was just starting to get cell phones.
Sure.
And he'd be on one end of the strip and I'd be the other, and I'd call him, and he'd every time he'd pick up his phone, Batman Web. It's fantastic. No, but seriously, sidekick wise, I don't.
I would probably go the Mr. Miyagi route and just have him do a whole bunch of crap around the house that I didn't feel like doing.
I had a friend who...
Now you're learning martial arts, chum.
Sure, those are... Yeah, uh-huh. I had a friend when I was a kid who would go... His parents were divorced, and he would be in Maryland where I live sometimes, and he would be with his mom in California sometimes. Mm. And it worked out that he came to Maryland for the summers for a while, and... His dad would just have him do all kind of, like, ridiculous chores,
uh-huh.
Like build a garage, like paint the driveway, just utterly pointless things. And I'd say, hey, Lane, what's going on? Can you hang out? Not right now. Karate lessons. So that's the only way he could justify being put through all this nonsense was that his dad was teaching him some deadly new martial art.
Son, I need you to find me a snipe.
I don't actually like sidekicks. I think the whole idea is kind of dumb. I mean, I've seen people make Robin work, but I'm not really a fan.
There's not a whole lot of sidekicks around anymore, if you really think about it, you know?
Well, no, that was a bit of a, like, after that guy Frederick Wortham came around and said, you know, superheroes are perverts and they, you know, they're trying to have sex with kids. Then suddenly there were a bunch of kids in comics. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
But, maybe it was a spite thing.
Well,
I think it was meant to. I think it was meant to be like a, you know, make a more relatable thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just never did anything for me. Having a kid version of yourself following you around does not seem like a good idea.
Now, Robin works for me, but I mean that's really the only one.
Robin works if he's written well.
Yeah,
but Robin just as often is written not well.
No,
I've yet to see a movie Robin that doesn't make me want to punch.
No, you're definitely right there. But, I mean, Chris O'Donnell can suck a dick, so...
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I'd probably go sidekickless, just
yeah.
As, you know.
But then who would you have ride in your sidecar? Oh, wait, I guess that'd be me.
Oh, No. You get to walk.
Fuck.
I'll put my dog in the sidecar.
Give him a pair of goggles.
Yeah, we're all set. Man, now I want to see my beagle in goggles. That would be awesome.
Yeah, me too.
Or your puppy in goggles.
There's our cover.
Yeah, your puppy in goggles. With the ears blowing back like hair.
Fuck yeah.
That would be fantastic. All right, the last piece of mail we have is actually the next installment of our Choose Your Own Adventure
series. Goodies.
So, Matt, I will ask you to open the show mail and read Scott's...
All right, give me one sec here.
So, we'll do mine first since he's included mine first. Dave, take it away.
Elgar, you sit in the muck and stare into the darkness of the corridor and start to think. Where does this corridor end? Where do I begin? Who am I to charge through a dark corridor? Is this corridor an allegory for life? Do we all have an endless corridor in our lives that we must charge through? When will it end? Is it up to us to decide? Who are we to decide if we should charge endlessly through the dark corridor of life? Etc. Do you, A, conclude that life is an endless dark corridor that must be conquered? B, conclude that life is meaningless like an endless dark corridor and is pointless to continue on, or C, conclude that this muck you're sitting in is icky.
All right. I am going to choose A, conclude that life is an endless dark corridor that must be conquered. In honor of Scott's recently revealed Positivity Tour 2011. I'd like to say, yes, let's conquer that dark corridor. What the hell? So let's do that.
Awesome.
So now is Matt's. Once again, take it away, Dave.
Matt, as the owner looks over the copy of Warriors of Plasm, you reminisce over that fateful day at the garage sale. Young Matt stands in line, eager to meet one of the pioneers of late Silver Age comics. Finally, after Mr. Shooter has finished signing all 25 issues of Archer and Armstrong that he wrote for the sweaty, overweight man in front of him, young Matt approaches. Does young Matt A. kick Shooter in the shins for killing the first JLA Avengers project? B. tell him that Solar was a total ripoff of Cyclops? Or C. ask him, what the hell is a ninjack anyway?
All right. I'm going to take B, tell him that Solar was a total ripoff of Cyclops, because I have often thought that to myself.
Solar? I don't even know that.
Oh, God, what the hell is his full name? I think it's Solar the Solar, excuse me, the Atomic Man.
Well, I do like the Atomic Man. Mm-hmm.
Well, who doesn't like the Atomic Man?
But listen, I have a fondness for the word atomic. I think that's
well,
clear.
As do we all.
Yes.
So say we all.
And now it's time for Dave's.
Dave, you hear sobbing on the other side of the door. The elves have been so touched by your rendition of Amazing Grace that it's brought them to tears. You glance over your shoulder as the flames get closer. So you guys are going to let me through then, right? A moment's pause.
No, a voice like yours is too beautiful to live.
Dicks! Do you, A, tell them all the horrible things you would do to them if they don't open the door, defying the logic of not being on the other side in the first place. B. Tell them all the horrible things that could happen to your world if they choose to leave you to your demise. Or C. Tell them exactly what they can do with a lifetime supply of chocolate. If you don't open this door, and I mean right now, I will kill myself. And when my tainted spirit reaches its destination, I will topple the master of that dark place. From my black throne, I will lash together a machine of bone and blood, and fueled by my hatred of you dicks, this fear engine will bore a hole between this world and that one. When it begins, you will hear the sound of children screaming as though from a great distance. A smoking orb of nothing will grow above your heads, and from it will emerge 1,000 starving crows. As I slip through the widening maw in my new form, you will catch only a glimpse of my radiance before you are incinerated. Then as tears of bubbling pitch stream down my face, my dark work will begin. I will open one of my 6 mouths, and I will sing the song that ends your hollow tree.
So could you please just open the door?
All right. So, Scott, you now owe us a new one. Next week, he will teach us another one. Looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. And that is about all the time we have this week. I have no additional things to say here. Usually I say, this is coming up, or buy a shirt or whatever, but no, nothing.
Nothing is happening. Good night to you all.
No homework this week. You guys can have a good weekend. And that is all. We're going to stop talking.
Right.
Now!
And now it's time for Spanish lessons with Juan D.
Mi vaca no obtiene el respeto de sus compañeros animales. Ella los matará a todos.
My cow gets no respect from her fellow animals. She will kill them all. This has been a Spanish lesson with Juan D. Next week, he will teach you another one. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is a co-production of Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. All material contained herein is the intellectual property of the co-producers and any featured guests unless otherwise noted.
Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions. Copyright 2011.